The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. What a football weekend. Kelly, good morning to you.
Hey, how we doing out there?
Kelly, let's just start by saying we were the only show on earth that recommended a Chiefs-Eagles teaser. So thank God you were listening to us.
I didn't hear a single other person on the planet bring it up all week. That's all I know.
Brent Musburger was kind enough to have me on his show on Saturday. I said, Kelly and I have already planned our gag for Monday morning that if this teaser hits, we're going to act like we were the only ones at it. Oh, we are. We're geniuses. America's teaser, ladies and gentlemen, coming through on Saturday.
Oh, it was glorious.
Congratulations to all on that. Chrissy Andrews will join us hour number two, sort of a makeshift guessing lines that we like to do in the postseason with Chrissy. So he will join us from back here at the South Point, get the perspective from behind the desk, what he's going to do or what he posted or what he will post after this show with the lines for the championship games. And Kelly, we'll talk a little Australian Open a little later on, some other stuff happening in sports, but it's really all about the weekend of football. And first thing, before we get to just how it worked out for us, because honestly, in sports betting, and you know, we do 20 hours of content here on this show specifically every week, and the network does multiple hours more than that, exponentially more, and it's rare that you're kind of dead on about everything. And this was one of those rare weekends where we really were in the NFL. And so we'll get to, not to say, hey, look at us, but sort of what was the signal, what was the noise, and how can that help us in other similar type situations. But the first thing I just want to say is beyond the betting, these are the best four teams in the NFL that we have at the conference championships.
Yep.
And I don't think anybody can dispute that. I really don't. I don't think you can make a case for any other team. These are the four best teams in the NFL. They all deserve to be there. And every possible Super Bowl matchup is going to be pretty awesome.
All four of these teams are good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
And, you know, I think we always talked about the six teams all year long. I think that still holds true. Two of them had to get eliminated this weekend. Two of them did. These four teams, though, advancing, any one of them are good enough to win the Super Bowl. I think next weekend we got two amazing games in store for us.
Well, so let's talk about just the biggest ones, which is, I don't know if I said it 20 times last week. I don't know if I said it 30 times, which is, I don't understand either of those line moves yesterday. The one against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
That had Buffalo as a 6-point favorite, the one against the San Francisco 49ers. And specifically with the Bills and the Bengals. I mean, I really hope people made good money on the Bengals. And even if you didn't have them pre-flop, I hope you were able to see. Todd Wishnev said it on the Megapod, right? You'll know within a few plays. You'll know will that Bengals offensive line hold up? Oh, my God, it was so obvious from the beginning.
Yeah.
And we'll go through the whole guessing lines play-by-play or drive-by-drive on this coming up in detail. But what was the thing, you know, that I said 20, 30 times last week, which is, in addition to that, is this notion about the three Bengals offensive linemen being out, Williams and Collins and Kappa, that I kept saying Joe Burrow, still, and these are the two biggest points that I feel like people just sort of overrode. No matter how many times it was said, which is, Joe Burrow has the quickest release, not the quickest release, but gets rid of the ball the quickest in the National Football League this side of Tom Brady. Besides Tom Brady, he gets rid of the football the most. Now, part of that is the Bengals game planning. So shout out to the Bengals coaching staff. They deserve a lot of credit for recognizing that and continuing with that. And Joe Burrow got rid of the ball where it didn't matter with those offensive line. In terms of protection with his offensive line. But by the way, that offensive line also crushed in the running game.
Yes.
Which was the real surprise for everybody, right? Oh, my God, Joe Mixon is going to gain 100 yards.
They manhandled that Bills defensive line.
Totally. That final score, 27-10, is not indicative of the domination of that football game. Because remember, much of that last part of the game was when the Bengals were up 24-10. It was like they were just like, well, we'll just kick this field goal to go up three scores. We could do more, but we'll just kick this field goal here. That was the one thing. And then the other thing that was just kind of, and I got a lot of incoming from Bills Mafia people on Twitter all last week when I kept saying that. We kept showing our clips about me saying this, which is the Bills haven't been good. Not that they haven't been good. They haven't been elite for about a half a season.
Yeah.
And it's the reason why I had them power ranked fifth for multiple weeks at this last stretch of the season and into the playoffs. Again, it's not fugazi like the Vikings and the Giants were. But it is from an elite perspective. They just weren't like the other four teams. And I know they won a lot of those games. They beat the likes of the Bears and the Jets and the Dolphins twice, right? Once in the regular season, once in the postseason. Probably should have lost at least one of those. The Patriots, the Lions. It wasn't exactly a murderer's row. The Browns. I mean, and so they did win those games. Take nothing away from them. But to think that the Bills, and this is, again, last week we talked, Kelly, about how the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of 2022 was this very anomalous thing that that I don't remember quite ever seeing before, which is this team that was clearly terrible, really a 6-11 team in 8-9 clothing, that the market was just super stubborn on week after week after week after week throughout the season. With the Bills, I just got the sense that with the analytics community specifically, I don't know if it's because they hold on to their priors so near and dear. And I love these guys, right? Aaron Schatz, who I love. But they were the number one DVOA team in football, the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Rufus Peabody, who's our buddy, he's on the show a lot. He had the Bills rated number one in his rankings. And the only question I can sort of ask is anybody watching these games? Because the Bills weren't that. They're a good football team. Don't get me wrong. They're a good football team. But they weren't a top four football team. And the Bengals dominated them, 27-10. And the thing I will say about the Niners, getting to that, and that line move against them, what was the whole thing? No one's saying Brock Purdy is a great football player, but Kyle Shanahan is good enough at X's and O's, and the Niners are stacked enough on offense to hide Brock Purdy. Hide in quotes, meaning set him up for the best success. Now, were there moments, you know, a ball going off Trayvon Diggs' chest? One of the things I did concede with Brock Purdy is he's super fortunate with the itches.
Yeah.
Interceptions that should have happened. Copyright
Megapod. Both quarterbacks were in that game.
Oh, everybody was. So there's that. There's clearly that luck, right? But what was the bar for Dak and Brock Purdy yesterday? The bar was, don't mess this up.
Yeah.
And guess what? One of them did and one of them didn't. And the guy who didn't was the last pick in the NFL draft. And again, we'll go through it play by play because there were so many little moments. But those are the things when we talk about just signal and noise. The overstating of the offensive line issues with the Bengals. Oh, by the way, that's another thing. Like, as casual football fans and people who are bettors, we're aware of starting quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks. We have a general sense of the quality and talent and what that means to a line. Who amongst us really has a general sense of the drop down from a starting offensive lineman to a backup?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the other point that was brought up on the broadcast of you know, a couple of these guys that are filling in were starters. You know, have been starters in this league before too. So it's not like, you know, I mean, we make a big deal of the Brock Purdy situation because that is a very unique situation, right? He's still a rookie. He was the last pick of the draft. No expectations. Offensive linemen filling in that have been in the league for years, doing this for years. I understand that some offensive linemen are better than others. I'm not trying to say there's no difference between those. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it was so far. That's been overblown, obviously, of how much it affects this team.
That's the point, though, Kelly. Is not, hey, look, we were right. The point is, what's signal and what's noise? If Joe Burrow gets rid of the ball, in other words, from snap to release from his hand, quicker than anybody in football but Tom Brady, that should mean something to you. So all the noise about the offensive line should be overridden.
It also helps that you have, you know, the best wide receiving core in the league, right?
Yes.
That creates separation.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, right? And with Kyle Shanahan, you are set up to do the best you possibly can. Anyway, the other thing that I think we need to focus on also is competition matters. And we tried to stress this over the last, you know, we always stress it, but certainly more pronounced during the postseason, which is if the Giants crush the Vikings, it doesn't mean anything because the Vikings defense stinks. Like, the Giants wide receivers were so open in that game. I said to Brent the other day, I was like, it was like not since Ricky Sanders and Gary Clark were running free against the Broncos in the Super Bowl, in Super Bowl 22. Have you seen wide receivers that open? Because I had to throw that in. But so that doesn't mean anything. It also doesn't mean anything when Dallas crushes Tampa Bay.
Yep.
It doesn't, because Tampa Bay stinks. And now, by the way, what's going to be the overreaction this week? Philadelphia crushing the Giants. Now, here's where I'm on an island, and I'll say this again. The Giants were as fugazi as the Vikings were all year long.
Yep.
And people love to draw the line to Brian Daboll was a great coach. No, he wasn't. I will just stand on this. I'm sure he's a good coach. They certainly didn't have a lot of talent, and they got the best record out of it. But like the fact that people draw a line to him getting credit for what was just really high leverage situation, great play by the Giants for the first half of the season, inside the red zone versus outside, third and fourth downs versus first and second downs, that can disguise a lot. Like our eyes see a lot, our eyes see better than analytics in any one game, but analytics sees everything, and so that was really the key to the Giants' success. So again, I fear that people are going to overrate. By the way, Philly, one of the best four teams. Philly's awesome. They're tremendous. But like if, let's see how this line moves. Already has moved some, but we'll see. But anyway, we'll get into each play, each drive by drive in each of these games, because obviously we didn't get to the Jags or the Chiefs yet, which was fascinating as well. And the biggest thing looming over the postseason now, which is Patrick Mahomes' injury. Will he even be able to play? And if so, to what level? That, of course, hovering over the AFC Championship and the whole NFL postseason. We'll come back, look at all the numbers, odds, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. These are all over the place this morning. We appreciate each and every one of them. Let me just sort of cherry pick here. Elvis Toast Patterson. Gilly, congrats on an awesome NFL weekend. I just hope, I just pray that Andrew Sports or Jimmy Vaccaro don't get the air conditioning unit fixed in the South Point. I don't want you to cool off, LOL. Thank you. That's very kind of you. A lot of people, Kelly, this is from Paper PBX. Thanks for the tip on betting both Tampa Bay and Dallas to lose in the divisional round. I really appreciate all the lessons while I learn how to beat the book.
There you go.
Yeah, that one came through very nicely. And again, we did the math on it again last week to explain why we're recommending, hey, before the postseason, take Dallas and Tampa Bay north of $2 each to lose in the divisional round. And you basically had a minus 195 bet at minus 160 prices. And by the way, that was the worst that it could have been. We got the worst of that. It should have been even a bigger disparity had things shaken out differently. Many more tweets to get to. We'll get to all of them. And again, Chrissy Andrews coming back with makeshift guessing lines later. We'll go through each of these one by one. Tony Pollard's fractured fibula in the loss to the Niners cannot be overstated as well. That might have been the difference as well in that ball game.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that was a – I mean, look, I think we're still talking about six really good teams. I mean, you were – first segment going in on the Bills a little bit. I think that team just runs, and especially this time of year, it runs so much on Josh Allen. And it's – I mean, this year you just didn't get a level of consistency out of him that you need to have to win football games. And that, and then when you talk about the Cowboys, you need the same thing from Dak. But the problem is there is that there's – like a guy like Tony Pollard goes down and you lose a dynamic explosive weapon that your team just doesn't have many of. I think that became more apparent yesterday as that game went on and as Tony Pollard exited. It's just, you know, there's a lot that gets thrown on Dak's shoulders, and rightfully so. You're a quarterback in the NFL. You're going to hear it, especially when you're quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. But he doesn't have a ton of weapon skill. He really doesn't. And that's what, when Pollard went down after that, I just sat there watching that game thinking, I don't know what the answer is besides, you know, continuing to feed CeeDee Lamb.
Well, remember, this was a team that was chock full of weapons, right? When Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and Gallup and Zeke and Pollard. I mean, so to say that is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, this comes down, first of all, when, you know, it's a makeshift guessing line, so I'll say, so when the matchups were made both times yesterday, I thought that the, you know, that the Chiefs, that the Chiefs-Bengals line, if Mahomes was healthy, was going to be Chiefs minus four-ish. And then without him being healthy and not knowing his status, I figured they'd make it three because I don't know what else they would, like, it's a hard line to make not knowing what his story is.
Right.
And then with the Niners and the Eagles, I figured Eagles minus 2.5. But like, I'll be honest with you, I've already made a bet. I've teased both the dogs. That was the first thing I did right out of the gates, because I don't know that either Cincinnati or San Francisco shouldn't be favored.
Yeah, I don't know that either. And there's a chance Cincinnati ends up probably favored before that game starts, right? I mean, I think there's a good chance a lot of betting action comes in on them. It's funny because if you know, we're looking ahead to next week, I think it's as great of a betting weekend as this last one was, Gil. I don't know that I have much interest in betting either game next week. I think they're both fantastic games. I think any of the four teams could win a Super Bowl. I might just be sitting on my couch next weekend watching those two great games.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. By the way, Tony Romo yesterday, before we get to some of these odds that are out there, but Tony Romo yesterday didn't have his greatest. Has anybody stock fallen more precipitously than Tony Romo?
Yeah, I don't.
From his initial entry into sports broadcasting when he was, letting us know what the next play was going to be.
Yeah.
And I thought that was wonderful when he did that. Most people did. Brent, our own Brent Musburger, who is certainly more savvy in the ways of play-by-play than any of us will ever be, he didn't like that at the time. He thought it was kind of, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but kind of showing up, not showing up, but sort of like not cool with the play-by-play guy kind of thing. He would articulate it better than me. But now Romo just kind of, it's stream of consciousness now, because I think they sort of stamped down on him and like, yeah, don't do that so much. And so now it's just him and random thoughts. Some of the highlights from yesterday. The chase touchdown. Looks like a catch to me, Jim. I think they made the right call overturning the catch. Yeah, I thought it was a touchdown.
No, yeah.
That didn't work out. Hold on. On the Mixon touchdown review, when it's obvious Mixon nearly got his entire body over the line. This is from Ernie Powers. Tony says, but you can't see the ball, Jim. We're in the multiverse. The ball may not have crossed the line with him. Good point, Tony. Mike McKinley was discussing with friends. His best thing when he started was looking at the defense and telling viewers what to expect from the offense. It was great. And then apparently the NFL and CBS made him stop, so now we're stuck with his boring takes. Mike McKinley, on an obvious hold, even I could see in real time, well, that's a flop if I've ever seen one. Or that mug on the Bengals wide receiver. Some very subtle touching there. Kip Heisterman, and this is a classic from Tony. I don't know, Jim. That's his favorite thing. Dom Perignon, perfectly thrown ball, but just a bit out wide, was his favorite from today. He also adds, honorable mention, Leslie Frazier has one of the best defensive schemes in the NFL.
Yep.
And the two, my favorite from the broadcast yesterday, and we'll get to those. But
I was in the camp real quick. Go back to that Mixon touchdown.
Yeah,
I was in the camp of I have no idea what they're going to do on this review, because I never saw an angle where you saw the ball. Right, you saw his whole body across, right, but never see the ball.
It couldn't have been possible that the ball wasn't with him.
I hear you, Gil, but it's always one of those we need visual evidence, right? Well, I can't see the ball crossing the goal line. I mean, this is where I'm always, can we get some, you know, what, they got the chips in the football now or whatever. Can we just utilize the technology that we have? Why do we need a review if you got a chip in the football and it should be able to cross a technological plane and a buzzer goes off upstairs and whatever, that's all we need.
Were you okay with the Jamar Chase not being called a touchdown? Because, again, if that's in the field of play, that's a catch. But he probably didn't catch the ball. That was probably a good call.
It was probably a good call. I'm so sick and tired of that rule, though. I don't know. I also don't know what the fix is exactly. But how do we have things that are catches now in the field of play that are not catches in the end zone and vice versa, and it doesn't make any sense.
Here's my last two Romos that I like the best. They save the best for last. 24-10 game. Bills have a 3-and-out on the third down. The bomb to Gabe Davis, which he just can't catch. He can't corral it. Tony Romo with 11 seconds left in the third quarter. Possibly a game-saving play. And then, And then the best one of all, of course, when Josh Allen had his arm going forward, he's hit by Mike Hilton and the ball came out. Going into commercial. Ooh, that looks like it might have been moving forward, but it also looks like a fumble. I don't know.
I got that one. That one was good. That one was good.
Here are the odds to win the Super Bowl, and also some Super Bowl MVP odds right now. So with four teams remaining, look how crunched up this is. This is just a testament to how evenly matched all four of these teams are. This is from DraftKings. Chiefs and Eagles both plus 260, the Bengals plus 270, and the Niners the long shot, if you will, at plus 310.
It's incredible.
Never seen that before, ever.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think I've seen the 49ers longer at other places, plus 350. That was one thing I started thinking about last night. These four teams are also good. If we talk about this market this week, the only recommendation I could possibly make is if you are actually, you know, bit high on the Niners or planning on betting them this week, it probably makes a little sense to splash a little money on this as well.
I got him plus 705 to win the NFC. I got him plus 1650 to win it all. I got McCaffrey at 18-1 to win Super Bowl MVP and Kittle at 80-1. Come on, Niners.
Looking good.
Here is the current MVP market for Super Bowl. What is it? What Super Bowl is it? 57. 57. Whew. Wow. What's the oldest Super Bowl you remember, Kelly?
Oh, geez. I don't know what number it was, but it was the Niners, Chargers one, because I was living in Southern California at the time. It was before we moved to Russia. We had this big Super Bowl party. So what year was that? It was...
Which one was it? Niners what?
Niners Chargers.
94, after the 94 season?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes remains a short shot, which is curious, right? Plus 330, that assumes he's going to be able to be held. I mean, look, if the Chiefs get there, sure, he will be the short shot if he's playing. But a lot of ifs around that. Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts, quarterbacks for the Bengals and the Eagles, obviously at plus 350, and then Brock Purdy at plus 650. McCaffrey's down to 14-1.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh, what'd you say oh, my God about?
There's one name on here that is just absolutely hysterical.
Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo's on there. Jimmy Garoppolo, 60-1, ladies and gentlemen. Wow.
I mean, Chad Henne makes way more sense than Garoppolo.
Chad Henne and Jimmy Garoppolo have the same number. Well, you never know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, never know. Debo's 28-1. Nick Bosa's 50-1. And where's Kittle? Kittle's still
100-1.
I don't understand why.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't get that at all. Why isn't everybody betting that? Jeez. Come back. Little Australian Open talk. Not as pleasant. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest game of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Ray Pierce. You must be thinking, if only it could always be this easy. If you had time traveled, your analysis leading into the games this weekend could not have been more spot on. You're right. If only it could always be that spot on. It's not.
Yeah.
Trust me. Also, Jesse Welch. Hey, Gil, flowers given here. Got a handout. Yours. The Bucks-Cowboys lost in divisional round suggestion. Well, there you go. Thank you. This is from... Oh, and this is... You know, it's funny because there's some of the Bills Mafia, and they won't come out, and they won't be... They won't take back, you know, some of the things that they said, but some people will.
I didn't know you were getting harassed by Bills fans so much.
Oh, they take it so personally. I'm like, I don't think your team is bad. I just am taking the points.
There was we had JVT made a comment about to New York City on our Hardwood Handicappers podcast last week. Oh my God, the New Yorkers came out of the woodworks to come after him.
Wow. This is from James underscore AG1. I'm here to eat my crow. Gil Burrow shoved it right down my throat.
Yep.
For what it's worth, I gave Allen more credit because the Cincinnati team is better than Buffalo, but got to give my respect to Joe. Joe Burrow, if it weren't for Patrick Mahomes, he's the best.
Yeah. We're at that point.
Yes.
We're at that point.
He's unbelievable. What does Matt Brown call him? Jesus H. Burrow?
Jesus H. Burrow.
As an LSU alum?
He was incredible. To start that game, too, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, we're concerned about that offensive line. There were so many of those big throws in that first half where left side of the line collapsed a little bit. He climbs up in the pocket, delivers a pass right on the mark, 20 yards down the field. I mean, it was chunk play after chunk play. They tore them apart. I know that Bills secondary's had some injuries. I love Josh Allen. I'm going to be a Josh Allen apologist probably always.
He's awesome.
He's an amazing, amazing talent. But he's like Melo on the Knicks, right? He's going to shoot the ball 45 times. Like the game, when you get to this point in the playoffs, you almost have to rely on him a ton. And it's, I don't know if that's the best way to win football games, right?
He's awesome. And Josh Allen may win the Super Bowl, may win multiple Super Bowls, may never win a Super Bowl. But the one thing that he certainly broke the mold on is, and Dr. Bob used to say this all the time, the only thing that is really, you know, that you can really project from college to pro with consistency is completion percentage and accuracy. And he said, if you're bad, you're going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen broke that mold. Josh Allen was the first guy who really was not accurate, who all of a sudden became accurate as a pro.
Yeah.
And he's young. Believe me, if it's Mahomes 1, Burrow 2, Josh Allen is still in the top 4, right?
So that's where I think this conversation gets really interesting. I think it's a top 3 at this point with those guys. I think he's right. I think he belongs in that group, but that's what we're talking. Talking about some of these other teams, right? And it's who's maybe that next tier down? It's maybe Herbert by himself, right?
Well, I think it's Herbert and, you know, Aaron Rodgers' drift is probably still 5 or 6, right? But it's like,
yeah.
Once you get past that group,
yes,
is Hurts 6? You know, like we were talking about this last night. Dak and Cousins and those kind of guys almost are bottom top 10 by default.
So,
there's not enough of good ones.
And that's where I was getting to, right? It's Dak. Dak's good, but does he need? He needs to be better. He just needs to be better. I don't know that that's.
He was not.
You
the best
are in San Francisco, yeah. And I know it's unfair to single out a single play, right? But Gallup was open, man. You put that ball on him, that's a touchdown. That is a touchdown at the end of that game.
We'll get to again guessing lines coming up. We'll go through this drive by drive because I have so many nuanced things to say about each of those games and how. I mean, Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys coaching staff, Kellen Moore botching the time management at the end of the first half, followed very closely by Kyle Shanahan botching it even further.
Well, but both right after were a disaster that. With that. Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of that going on. I mean, the Cowboys had a perfect 2-for-1 opportunity set up, blew it. Just, what are you doing throwing the ball around to begin with? And then the Niners, who were just like, hey, I don't know if we're not going to use these timeouts. Oh, wait a minute. I guess we will use them. And then it's a whole thing. There's more to it.
I just think that's my big takeaway for we always talked about those 6 teams this season.
Yeah.
And it's the after this weekend, the big takeaway for me is Josh Allen, you have to find a level of consistency with your play that it's not there really.
Well, he could use a running game also.
Sure. I mean,
yeah.
But okay, so for the regular season, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that in the playoffs. The running game is him. There is.
They just don't have that many weapons, though, dude. Like, I mean, it's just not that dynamic
in
offense.
There's not. But yeah. That's kind of my point. I don't even care when he takes off and run with it. He's still bigger than most linebackers in the NFL these days.
That was the thing I was screaming last week. If you remember against the Dolphins, like what happened to Josh Allen running the football?
And
he could have done that with great success against the Dolphins.
So that's I'm not as concerned about him. I think if you are a Cowboys fan out there, I think Dak needs to be better, and it's not.
I'd agree.
I mean, one of my favorite Matt Brown quotes, right? There's more astronauts than there are NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So sorry, these guys are going to get criticized a lot, and in that top level of guys, it's really tough to be at, and he's just not there, and I don't think he's ever going to be.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He's 29 at this point, right?
Well, that's part of that's the big crime of the Cowboys, right? It's Jerry Jones. It's like he insists on it. It's almost like he's trying to convince himself more than us. This need to have Zeke's contract justified, this need to tell you that Dak is going to win you he's good enough to win you a Super Bowl.
Goes back to Romo.
Yeah,
Right? I mean, even when Romo was playing, it was a constant apologist for Romo every single year.
We'll save the audio for some of this, but let me just talk Australian Open real quick. So the Australian Open, not as good. Well, day to day, very good. We were going for our sixth consecutive winning day, sixth consecutive yesterday at the Australian Open. I took a big dog, Linda Fruvertova. She lost +195. She was up a break in the third set against Donna Vekic. Couldn't get it done. Would have been our sixth consecutive winning day at the Australian Open. But the big news is that our futures on Iga went by the wayside. Elena Rybakina beat her in straight sets 6-4, 6-4. And oh, by the way, Rybakina was the better tennis player that day.
Damn.
So Iga starts out the season this year the same way she started out last year, which was with an Australian Open loss. By the way, she won 8 tournaments and won 37 matches in a row and 2 slams also last year. So I don't, you know, it's so funny because there's some people, hey, you're so wrong about Iga. Yeah, okay. I have hundreds of units stacked. If I lost 4, you should enjoy. Have a party about that for haters out there. But right now, I really do think there's only 3, and it's completely reflected the numbers on the lady side. It's Sabalenka, Rybakina, or Pegula. Those are the only 3 that can win this. With apologies to everybody else. And we've won on Magda Linette a couple times. She's in the final. But it's Sabalenka, Rybakina, and Pegula. Those are the only 3 that can win this. And your guess is as good as mine at this point between those. Because I think it's Pegula's time. But, like, Rybakina's hiding in plain sight. Because we were like, oh, it's Sabalenka or Pegula. Rybakina won Wimbledon, and then, if you recall, the only thing memorable about it was she barely seemed to care. She was like, yeah, I just won Wimbledon. So she's like a baby giraffe out there.
Man, Pegula's gotten that good that quick, huh?
Jessie Pegula deserves a whole bunch of credit. Because she is, again, an heiress to billions. And yet she is one of the 3 best players in the world. So I love that about her. We've bet on her plenty of times in the past. So anyway, we'll try to start another 5-day winning streak in the Australian Open.
I'm just sitting back here chuckling at the idea of Terry Pegula, right? The Bills owner. Be like, well, that game sucks. Let me hop on a plane and get down to Australia to watch my daughter, possibly win an Australian Open.
And the men's side, it's Novak, dude. It's Novak. I mean, there's nothing. We could sit here and talk about other people, but. And by the way, Ben Shelton has looked great. We lost a couple times betting against him. 3 Americans in the quarters. Tommy Paul and Ben Shelton, who play each other, and Sebastian Korda. I do have 2 plays today in the Australian Open. Do we have those ready to go, Kelly?
Yeah.
They're both in the same match. One is a total and one is a dog flyer. Jiří Lehečka against Stefanos Tsitsipas. Taking the over in games, 35.5. And I am taking Jiří Lehečka at +455. Because I really believe he can win this match. He has beaten really great players in this tournament, Borna Koric and Felix Auger-Aliassime among them. He is playing great tennis. He was playing great tennis in Adelaide before this. Beat Cam Norrie in this tournament as well. So, I mean, those are 3 really great players. Listen, Stefanos Tsitsipas probably feels, besides Novak, he's the player to beat in this tournament. But this could be very tricky for Tsitsipas, and at +455, that represents ridiculous value. So that and the over at 35.5 in that match. Those are the 2 Australian Open plays of the day. We'll come back more on the National Football League. We'll talk about that. Of course, guessing lines coming up with Chrissy, and then some NBA futures. I believe Kelly has some things to say. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when you sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state that you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager's settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Skill Alexander, by the way, so many tweets. folks just sounding off on different things in the football games. We appreciate all of them. We'll try to get to as many as we can. First of all, though, pro tip of the hour, Kelly, try not to get sucked into mass narratives and overrate things like the Bengals' offensive line injuries. Again, try to separate from the signal and the noise. And again, look, it's tough. If you take in hours of content, people got to fill the time too, as do we. And you're going to hear, if people are on one sort of narrative, you're going to hear that just ad nauseum, and it's going to start to seep into your brain and be like, oh, it's got to be true. No, doesn't. Try to think for yourself on some of these things. Every pro tip searchable on VSiN.com. It's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. So another thing about the Bengals that I just want to bring up, and Kelly, you did a great job also when we're talking about exactas, that if you believe in the Bengals, you should be taking Bengals versus the Niners, Bengals losing to the Niners, Bengals over the Niners, same against the Eagles.
Did I know? Not at all. Did I follow my own advice? No.
Yeah. Well, they weren't as rampantly available here, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's true.
But think about what the Bengals have just kind of overcome here, which is, and before I even get to that, we're talking about, like, you know, hey, competition matters, the Giants and the Vikings, and now again the Giants, you know, the Eagles having crushed the Giants moving into next week. You know who deserves a shout? The Baltimore Ravens. Because the Baltimore Ravens, with backup quarterbacks, plural, but really specifically Tyler Huntley, they probably should have beaten the Bengals last week. It's just a testament to, you know, we just talked about quarterbacks and rankings and stuff like that. Once you get past Belichick and, you know, like, who's next? John Harbaugh, second best coach in the NFL? I mean, like, he's that good, right? That coaching staff is that good. So, you know, the Ravens are talk about teams heading into next season with such a wide span of possibilities, both to the good and bad. Yeah. What are you laughing at?
That's so Ravens.
So Ravens.
No, but it's what you're saying, right? I mean, that team could be...
Yeah.
That team could be in an AFC championship game come this time next year, or in a, I don't know, complete rebuilding mode. I have no idea.
Or Lamar Jackson could be out of town and they'll be rebuilding. So back to the Bengals for a second. Think about, obviously, with the DeMar Hamlin game. And by the way, it was great to see DeMar Hamlin in the stadium yesterday, Trademark Stadium for the Buffalo Bills. That was a huge, hugely wonderful thing to see after the events of a few weeks back. But, you know, the Bengals got the worst of all of it, right? They might have not won the AFC North had they lost to the Ravens, right, that last week of the season, which wouldn't have been justified. Then they had this game at Buffalo, which, you know, shouldn't have automatically, right? But the NFL did the best they could, is what I'm saying. But the Bengals sort of overcome every obstacle put in front of them. And then they had this notion of, hey, the NFL is already selling tickets in Atlanta. Here's what Zach Taylor had to say about that.
For the neutral site, I mean, yeah, we had our mindset to go play in Kansas City, and it is tough because they have to formulate the plans for coin tosses, and they got to formulate the plans for neutral site games, and we just keep screwing it up for everybody, and I hate that for people that have to endure all those logistical issues, and then we just keep screwing it up. So I'm sorry.
The sass, it's amazing.
Jamar Chase had a few things to say also. Joe Burrow sort of teed him up for an answer at the end of the game yesterday about it. The Bengals took that as motivation.
I mean, it's one thing when you start selling tickets. It's another thing when the NFL issued a press release, right? Like, it was Thursday or Friday of like, hey, we sold out within 24 hours. Look how amazing we are. That's the point. If I was the Bengals, I'd be like, are we in this league? Like, does anybody care about us? Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
So I understand why that was bulletin board material for sure.
By the way, did you see the Warren Sharp thing?
Yeah. I think that's another pro tip. Just because, you know, everything might, I don't know, things surrounding something might look like there's something fishy going on.
Bro, what is happening?
Sometimes
to you?
It's just sports.
Yeah. And it was like really, basically what we're talking about is a really smug video where he was just sort of suggesting beyond belief that this had to be, you know, below board and nefarious. I'll let you watch it on your own, but it was sort of cringy.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that. And Warren's been on this show before, many times, back in the day. But
I've had nothing but respect for stuff he's done in the past. I mean,
his guide is great and everything, right? His guide's fine.
Yeah.
But my goodness, that did not age well.
It was odd, yeah.
Patrick Mahomes' injury. Patrick Mahomes on Patrick Mahomes' injury.
There was just a couple throws here and there where I tried to plant off that foot, and it didn't let me kind of plant like I usually do. And so a couple throws I didn't make. I told Coach I want to still throw it downfield, and so we were able to make some throws there after the first few drives, and I think he got a little confidence that I could protect myself. Credit to our defense, man, holding us in that game, especially after the start of that second half when I wasn't able to get stuff going. So they held us in that game, made some big plays at the end, and we were able to score enough points to win.
Listen, Arden Key landed on him, and that lower foot, lower leg got wrenched. He was never the same. And people are making, oh, Chad Henne, 98 yards, 37 years old. Chad Henne almost got picked, like, on the third play.
No shot. There's too many good teams in the NFL.
Let's relax, everybody, with Chad Henne. And then back to Jerry Jones of the Cowboys.
Well, real quick.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
That dude right there is the best player in the NFL, the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yes.
And, I mean, if you love football, oh, my gosh, that was that game in that sequence, and I saw that hick yell.
It was surreal.
Because like, are the playoffs really going to be ruined by this kind of injury?
Didn't you have 10, 15 seconds in there where you had that exact thought? Where
absolutely.
You're just like,
and then Mahomes not wanting to come. What, he stays in right away, right? He didn't leave until a couple plays later. I mean, you could tell it was, you can take me off this dang field, only if my leg is about to fall off are you going to take me off this field. I didn't even know until after the game that he went and got an x-ray. He was back so quick from the x-ray. It was incredible. That's why I am so split on this game this weekend, because I think the Bengals are probably the best team left. I really do, even without the offensive line injuries. I ain't betting against that.
But the Chiefs are kind of unbettable without knowing what Mahomes' story is.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I know.
They're kind of unbettable.
Baddest dude in the NFL.
Oh, he's. I mean, listen, again, that's why I said with Joe Burrow. If Patrick Mahomes didn't exist, Joe Burrow's the best quarterback in the NFL. Jerry Jones, after the game, I mentioned how Jerry Jones just got to tell us that they can win with Dak and Zeke. Good God, we're going to justify these contracts. He was questioned about Mike McCarthy's future after the game.
No. And their decision for our kicker was exonerated with his field goal in my mind, and I'm proud for him. But this is very sickening. Not
winning tonight. Yeah, the question was.
Initial question was: Does this game change your thoughts from last week on Mike McCarthy?
Sticking with Mike McCarthy, sticking with Brett Maher, and by God, sticking with Dak and Zeke till I.
No, I won't. Okay, the Maher thing. I mean, I just love chaos. I'm sorry.
By the way, the funniest text I got yesterday was when that first extra point was blocked, and by the way, wasn't going to go in anyway.
Wasn't going to go in. Yeah.
And Kelly's text to Matt and me was, this is awesome.
Sorry, I'm a sick, twisted person, but I love
this.
This
is awesome.
I love when the world burns. And it is when Brett Maher, I was there. I'm that gif of the guy with popcorn of like, oh my God, he's going to kick. What's going to happen? And then it gets blocked, which makes it even better, Gil, because he was going to miss it, but you don't know for sure.
But
because
that,
it got blocked.
But
right?
That can't be overstated either, right? Which is the difference between 7-3 and 6-3, while being only 1 point, changes the entire feel of everything. Because then your field goal, you're even again, right? As opposed to, oh my God, we'll never quite get there. And Jerry giving a pep talk before the show.
And then he went with exonerated after? I don't know if I'm feeling that way about
exonerated.
It. Yeah, I don't know if I'm feeling that way.
I'm telling you, Jerry says things to convince himself.
It's incredible.
On every front. Get some tweets.
What is this, Adam Vinatieri struggling? Like, no! Get rid of him! Get someone else in here!
Didn't carry another kicker on the roster. That felt weird yesterday, too, for a little while. Until Barr made a couple field goals. We'll come back. Christy Andrews, guessing lines. We'll go through these drive-by-drive, all the nuances of it all. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.